Welcome to the Damascus Road Gospel Talk Show. This is a service of the Damascus Road Community Baptist Church in Cockeysville, Maryland. Reverend Tony Lawson is the pastor. This is Joseph Miller. Our email address is damascusroadcbc@gmail.com. In the last program, we stopped at Jeremiah 44, verses 20-30. I read these verses, but I didn't have time to comment on them or get your questions and comments. So we will begin there. Before we do, be sure to keep your phones on mute except when making a comment or asking a question. Also, please have pen and paper ready to jot down information. Now let us pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you to teach us, to bless us, to inspire us, to edify us. Lord Jesus, you are the teacher. We're looking to you to teach us this afternoon. We praise you, we honor you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Verses 20 through 30 of Jeremiah chapter 24. We read them the last time, so I'll just give you my comment on them. Jeremiah responds to the people in Egypt, the people from Judah who have moved down to Egypt, but they were obstinate. They were not very submissive to Jehovah God. So Jeremiah responds by saying that the Lord Jehovah remembers the idolatry of the people who burned incense in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Again, we see the heart of God in verse 22 when he says the Lord could no longer bear it. God is a person with feelings, with emotions. At least that's my personal belief. So Jeremiah says Judah is now a desolation because of the abominations the people committed. In verse 25, Jeremiah notices the obstinacy of the Judeans now in Egypt to keep their vows, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings to her. God's response is just as strong. He says, my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah and all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God lives. That's because he intends to consume them, to consume them all by the sword and by famine. All, that is, except a small number who will return to the land of Judah. God says he will give a sign to the remnant that his words will stand. And what is the sign? He will give Pharaoh, Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies. When they see this happening, they will know that God's words will stand. Any questions or comments on verses 20 through 30 of Jeremiah chapter 44? Questions or comments? All right, let's go to the five verses of of Jeremiah chapter 45. Chapter 45 only has five verses. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke to Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the instruction of Jeremiah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to you, O Baruch. You said, woe is me now, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, behold, what I have built I will break down, and what I have planted I will pluck up, that is, this whole land. And do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them. For behold, I will bring adversity on all flesh, says the Lord. But I will give your life to you as a prize in all places wherever you go. Remember, I said that when reading prophets, sometimes events will jump ahead in time and sometimes go back in time. Here in chapter 45, an event is recorded that took place before the invasion and the destruction of Jerusalem. This occurred during the reign of Jehoiakim, two kings prior to the last king of Israel, Zedekiah. Baruch, who wrote down the prophecies spoken by Jeremiah, had expressed the grief and sorrow he had been experiencing. He could not find rest. Now, it may have been because of the tension he felt between the leadership of Judah and Jeremiah. The leadership didn't like what Jeremiah was saying. So Baruch had to write down the words of Jeremiah and sometimes speak those words himself to those in authority. God tells Baruch that he should cease seeking great things to happen in his life because God was in the process of tearing down Judah. But Jehovah gives him a wonderful word. The Lord will protect him wherever he goes. What a wonderful blessing to know that you will not be killed, even though there is death and destruction all around you. Any questions or comments on this chapter, chapter 45? Questions or comments on chapter 45? If not, let's go to chapter 46, the first 12 verses. First 12 verses. The word of the Lord came, which came to Jeremiah, the prophet, against the nations, against Egypt, concerning the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates and Carchemish, and which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, defeated in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Order the buckler and shield and draw near to battle. Harness the horses and mount up, you horsemen. Stand forth with your helmets. Polish the spears. Put on the armor. Why have I seen them dismayed and turned back? Their mighty ones are beaten down. They have speedily fled and did not look back. For fear was all around, says the Lord. Do not let the swift flee away, nor the mighty man escape. They will stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. Who is this coming up like a flood, whose waters move like the rivers? Egypt rises up like a flood, and its waters move like the rivers. And he says, I will go up and cover the earth. I will destroy the city and its inhabitants. Come up, horses, and rage, O chariots, and let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and the Libyans who handle the shield, and the Lydians who handle and bend the bow. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge himself on his adversaries. The sword shall devour, it shall be satiated, and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts has a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Go up to Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain you will use many medicines. You shall not be cured. The nations have heard of your shame, and your cry has filled the land. For the mighty man has stumbled against the mighty. They both have fallen together. All right. Let's look at the first 12 verses of Jeremiah chapter 46. In these verses, we see a judgment as their army travels north to battle the Babylonians. Later in this chapter, we will see the Babylonians travel south to battle the Egyptians. But now we're looking at the Egyptians traveling north. Verse 1 says, God's word came to Jeremiah against the nations. Chapters 46 through 51 set forth God's judgment against nation after nation, beginning with Egypt. Verses 3 through 6, God issues a derisive, sarcastic call to battle to the Egyptians. They are to get ready to battle the Babylonians at Carchemish, which was located by the Euphrates River. What was the result of the battle? Verse 5 says the Egyptians were dismayed and turned back. They fled and did not look back. When they came to battle the Babylonians, they seemed like a flood, as it says in verse 7. The Egyptians, Libyans, and Lydians are thought to be mercenaries fighting with the Egyptians. And the Lydians are thought to be from Ethiopia. But this is not certain. Verse 10 says the defeat of the Egyptians occurs so that God may avenge himself. Why? Why does God want to take vengeance on the Egyptians? Firstly, the Egyptians were full of idolatry. They worshipped many false gods. Secondly, they killed good King Josiah on their way to battle the Babylonians. So some commentators refer to Josiah's death as a reason for God's vengeance. Verse 12 refers to mighty men stumbling against one another, speaking of the Egyptians running into one another as they flee from the Babylonians. Any questions or comments on verses 1 through 12 of Jeremiah 46? Any questions or comments? All right. Let's go to verses 13 through 26. 13 through 26. The word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet. How Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, would come and strike the land of Egypt. Declare in Egypt and proclaim in Migdol. Proclaim in Noph and in Tapanhes. Say, stand fast and prepare yourselves, for the sword devours all around you. Why are you valiant? Why are your valiant men swept away? They did not stand, because the Lord drove them away. He made many fall. Yes, one fell upon another. And they said, arise, let us go back to our own people and to the land of our nativity from the oppressing sword. They cried there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He has passed by the appointed time. As I live, says the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, surely as Tabor is among the mountains and as Carmel by the sea, so he shall come. O you daughter dwelling in Egypt, prepare yourself to go into captivity, for Noph shall be waste and desolate without inhabitant. Is a very pretty heifer, but destruction comes. It comes from the north. Also her mercenaries are in her midst like fat bulls, for they also are turned back. They have fled away together. They did not stand, for the day of their calamity had come upon them, the time of their punishment. Her noise shall go like a serpent, for they shall march with an army and come against her with ashes, with axes, like those who chop wood. They shall cut down her forest, says the Lord, though it cannot be searched, because they are innumerable and more numerous than grasshoppers. The daughter of Egypt shall be ashamed. She shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says, behold, I will bring punishment on Ammon of No, and Pharaoh, and Egypt with their gods and their kings, Pharaoh and those who trust in him. And I will deliver them into the hand of those who seek their lives, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the hand of his servants. Afterward, it shall be inhabited as in the days of old, says the Lord. Now, we just saw how the Egyptian army traveled north to battle the Babylonians and how the Babylonians defeated them. In these verses, we will see how the Babylonians traveled south to Egypt and again defeated the Egyptian army. The names listed in verse 14 are locations in both Upper and Lower Egypt. So the prophecy Jeremiah is delivering pertains to all of Egypt. So they were scattered. The Babylonian forces throughout Egypt, conquering and killing and causing devastation. Verse 15 says, the Lord Jehovah is sweeping away the Egyptian defenders. There were mercenaries from other countries in Egypt. But when the Babylonians came, they said, let us go back to our own people and to the land of our nativity. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is spoken of derisively as just a noise. He boasts of what he will do, but does not do it. When the appointed time arrives, the invasion of the country, his troops don't do well at all. Then in verse 18, God refers to himself as king. It is as if you have two earthly kings fighting each other. That would be the king of Babylon and the king of Egypt. But the king of the universe will determine the victor. Tabor and Carmel were two mountains towering over the area surrounding them. So Nebuchadnezzar will tower over Egypt. Verse 20 says, Egypt is a very pretty heifer. Egypt's army seems strong and formidable, but when they come to battle, they will sound like the hissing of a serpent, not very loud. They will be defeated. The Babylonian army will seem like soldiers with axes chopping down a forest. The term forest is appropriate because the scholars say Egypt was populated with 1,020 closely located cities. These must have been small cities for there to be 1,000 of them. 1,020 closely located cities. So the Babylonians went from one city to another and conquered the country. Verse 23 says, the Babylonian army was innumerable. It contained a huge number of troops. So they were able to cut down what must have seemed like a forest of trees, city after city after city. Ammon, in verse 25, was a sun god worshipped at the city of No. God says, after a period of time, Egypt will return to governing itself. The Babylonians would leave. Historians tell us this happened 40 years later under King Cyrus of Persia. So any questions or comments on verses 13 through 26 of Jeremiah 46? Questions or comments? All right, let's go to the two final verses of chapter 46, verses 27 and 28. Let's read it first. But do not fear, O my servant Jacob, and do not be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar, and your offspring from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be at ease. No one shall make him afraid. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, says the Lord, for I am with you. For I will make a complete end of all the nations to which I have driven you. But I will not make a complete end of you. I will rightly correct you, for I will not leave you wholly unpunished. Now, after all of the death and destruction prophesied by Jeremiah previously in this chapter, Jewish people listening to him or to a reading of this prophecy may be wondering what would happen to them, what would happen to the Jewish people and their countrymen scattered to Assyria, Babylon, Egypt, and to the other countries. God tells them twice in these two verses, quote, do not fear. He tells them, quote, do not be dismayed. Quote, I will save you, end quote. And, quote, I am with you, end quote. He refers twice to the Jews as, quote, my servant, and says, those scattered shall return. They shall have rest and be at ease, and that no one will make them afraid. He tells them they won't go unpunished, but he will not make a complete end of them. When we look at the history of the Jews, since Jeremiah spoke this prophecy, we have to say the total fulfillment of it is yet future. Verse 27 says, no one will make Israel afraid. They will have rest and be at ease. Now, we know today Israel is afraid, her enemies might do. And the people of Israel are not at ease. So again, the fulfillment of this prophecy is yet future. We also know God will not abandon his chosen people. Any questions or comments on verses 27 and 28 of Jeremiah 46? All right, let's go to the seven verses of chapter 47. Jeremiah 47 has seven verses. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Philistines before Pharaoh attacked Gaza. Thus says the Lord, behold, waters rise out of the north and shall be an overflowing flood. They shall overflow the land and all that is in it, the city and those who dwell within. Then the men shall cry, and all the inhabitants of the land shall wail at the noise of the stamping hooves of his strong horses, at the rushing of his chariots, at the rumbling of his wheels. The fathers will not look back for their children, lacking courage, because of the day that comes to plunder all the Philistines, to cut off from Tyre and Sidon every helper who remains. For the Lord shall plunder the Philistines. the remnant of the country of Kaphtor. Boldness has come upon Gaza. Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. How long will you cut yourself? O you sword of the Lord, how long until you are quiet? Put yourself up into your scabbard. Rest and be still. How can it be quiet, seeing the Lord has given it a charge against Ashkelon and against the seashore? There he has appointed it. This chapter records a prophecy made during the reign of Jehoiakim. Verse 2 refers to troops coming down from the north. That would be Nebuchadnezzar's army. Researchers say they attacked the Philistine city, Kilon, in 604. Remember, Jeremiah, these chapters, he's in the midst of one judgment, a judgment against one country after another. So he's just looked at Egypt. Now he's turning his attention to the Philistines. So I'll read this again. Researchers say that the Babylonian army attacked the Philistine city of Ashkelon in 604 BC. And then Pharaoh Necho of Egypt attacked another Philistine city, Gaza, in 601 BC. During the attack, men are crying out in verse 2. In verse 3, we hear the stomping hooves of horses and the rumbling wheels of chariots. Fathers are abandoning their children. In verses 4 and 5, the Philistine cities of Gaza and Ashkelon will be unable to help the Phoenician cities of Tyre and Sidon because they have been attacked. The residents of these two cities are asked how long will they cut themselves, as self-inflicted wounds were a sign of mourning, as was baldness, and that was mentioned in verse 5. So they were mourning the invasion coming into their countries. Jeremiah then uses a figure of speech called apostrophe, and he uses this in verses 6 and 7 as he asks the sword of the Lord, how long would it be before it is quiet? Apostrophe is a figure of speech in which you talk to an inanimate object that is not present, and you speak to it as if it is. So he's asking the sword of the Lord, how long will it be before it is quiet, before the sword is quiet, before it stops its killing? He then wonders how it can be quiet since the Lord has appointed it to do its work. Now we have about 1 minute left. Any questions or comments on Jeremiah chapter 47? No questions or comments. Okay. So we want to end here. I want to thank the Lord for giving us a good study of his word. And we will resume with chapter 48 of Jeremiah on our next study. God bless you all. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.